$20. He's making all that up, but I'm just glad to be here. At any rate, let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer to bless our offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and for this opportunity to stand before your people and bring a message. We pray, God, that you would bless what is taught, help people to receive the message, help us all to learn from it. Lord, we pray that you'd be with the other classes and with the preachers and the attendees there. And now, Lord, we turn our thoughts to these offerings. We pray, God, that you would bless these offerings, multiply them, help the church to use them wisely. We just pray, God, that you would bless both the gift and the givers for the glory of Christ Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Won't do that again. All right, looks like they're through with the offering. So if you take your Bibles, please, turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 4, verse 18. Matthew 4 and verse 18. We are glad that you are here today and hope that you get a blessing. We're going to talk about the Apostle Peter. We'll be talking to him. Well, we'll be looking at the scriptures here before he became an apostle, obviously. He was a fisherman, and he got saved. It's the same way that you and I got saved, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way anybody can ever be saved, any time, period, age, it does not matter. Adam was saved by grace through faith in a coming Messiah, and I was saved by grace through faith in the Messiah who has come and died for our sins, was buried, and rose again upon the third day. So we're going to talk to Peter. Peter was he's one of these guys who was always in a hurry. And it didn't matter, good or bad, he was in a hurry. And mistaken or correct, he was in a hurry. And there's a lot of good things we can learn from Peter. As I was coming in today, Faye, my wife, was talking a little bit about Pastor's son, Joshua. And that I did not know this, but he's a quick learner. He learns things really quick. I did know this about him. He talks fast, he walks fast, and eats fast. And so he reminds me, Joshua reminds me a little bit of Peter, a man who's always in a hurry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make thee fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would bless the teaching of this hour. Lord, I'm just a sinful man, Lord. I have nothing to offer your people. And I just pray, God, that you would first forgive me of my sins. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. And I pray, God, that your spirit would speak to the hearts of the people this day for the glory of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there, the key word to Peter's life and to our lesson is found in verse number 20, and they straightway. And what does that mean, straightway? Quickly, immediately, now, straightway. And so he immediately, now listen, Jesus said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 words to him. Yep. And he changed his entire life forever. Yes, indeed. On 10 words spoken by Christ. Wow. Jesus simply said to him, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Yeah. I don't think it's that. I think it's down here that's doing it. Yeah, there it is. Okay. He was quick. Peter was always quick to do God's will. Now, it's an amazing thing when you really stop and consider that Jesus approached Peter and his brother, and he just, a quick invitation, 10 words, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And whatever he was doing, he laid it down immediately and got out of the boat. I wonder how many of us would be willing to do something like that. How many of us would be willing to follow the commandments of the Lord just on based on 10 words spoken by Christ? 10 words. Come, follow me. and would we be willing to do that? And he immediately dropped, left his fishing. Now, we've got to understand, it wasn't like he was home mowing the lawns. Or, we live in Arizona. It wasn't like he was home raking the rocks. We would just drop our rake and go. No, he was at work. So imagine this. It's not that Christ came into church. Christ came into the Sunday school hour. Christ came into the church time during the church, main church service, and got in the pulpit and preached a message and said, come follow me. It'd be like he walked into your place of work, and while you're in your cubicle working, you got your back turned like this, and you hear a voice, and you turn around, and it's the Lord, and he said, come follow me, and you quit your job.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's what Peter did.
Yeah, he did.
He dropped it. He got up and went and followed the Lord. He followed the Lord, and that's something that we need to be willing to do. Would we be willing to, look, for some people, I just wish they would eventually get around to following the Lord. Would we be willing to follow the Lord's will? Now, we're saved. We're born again, the vast majority of us, I'm sure. If you're not sure that heaven is your home, please talk to the pastor or one of the other gentlemen or ladies around here and or myself about how you can be positive that when you die, you go to heaven. It's very simple. We're all sinners. Christ Jesus is God. He lived a sinner's perfect life. He died on a cruel cross. He came. He was buried. He came back from the dead after 3 days. And if you're willing to trust your soul's destiny, heaven or hell, to what Jesus did, if you lay down your own goodness and you'll trust only in Christ Jesus, asking him to forgive you and become your Savior, he will. And you can be assured that heaven is your home. If you're not sure of that, please talk to somebody afterwards. But now that we are saved, now that we are born again, we should be following the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We should be following the Lord. Now, where are we going to learn God's will from? That book right there, that Bible, okay? I started a lesson in junior church a couple weeks ago on the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. You know, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That word profitable. Oh, how many of us like to make a profit? Okay, how many of you like to lose something on a deal? No, we like to make a profit. Well, that word profitable there isn't talking about financial gain. There could be some there, perhaps. Perhaps not. That's immaterial. But it means, basically, it just means good for you. The Word of God is good for you. It is profitable. For doctrine, that's the teaching. Okay, we learn doctrine. We learn God's Word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. You ever been reproved? If you were ever a child, and I think most of you were, at some point in your life, you were probably reproved by your parents at some point in time. You did something, maybe you didn't exactly know it was right or wrong, maybe it's something minor, so you were given a mild rebuke, that would be a reproof. Maybe a little, any of you ever get a slap on the fingers? Yeah, I got a few of those. I think I still got a scar from when my sixth grade teacher gave me a slap on the fingers. But he cheated. He had a hickory ruler and had a copper edge across the top of it. For the boys, he would use the copper edge, the steel edge. For the girls, you girls, you luck out. He would use the wooden edge for you guys, for you girls. You know, you ever got a slap? Okay, that kind of hurts, but it's not real bad. But that would be a reproof of life. You disobey one of God's eternal laws called gravity. You're walking down the street, texting, and you walk off the edge of the sidewalk. You know, that's becoming common. Oh, I don't know what they're doing. All I know is I saw somebody riding a bicycle the other day. Texting or doing something as he's riding a bicycle. You got to be kidding me. You know, sooner or later, you're going to hit a rock. A dog's going to run in front of you. You're going to bump the curb. Something like that. You're going to drift into a lane of traffic. You're going to receive a reproof. It'll be a mild correction. Now, a correction is something that we really don't want to get. You know, when they talk about prisons, you ever see that they are, oh my word, I just had a terrible thought. I better not say that in here, okay? I think it's funny. It might offend somebody, so I won't. But it's called the Department of Corrections, okay? Why is that called the Department of Corrections? Because you're going to be treated rough. You're going to have to, your life is going to be disrupted. It's going to be difficult for you, and hopefully you're learning your lesson. Now, statistically, 80% of the folks that go in there don't. But it's called Department of Correction. That is not a reproof. That is a correction. Now, we talked about the slap on the wrist you may have got. Most of us are old enough, we probably received a spanking or two in our life, or two or three or a couple hundred. I was a good kid. I know I got less than 1,000 whippings in my life. I'm sure of that. Okay, I think I got less than 1,000 whippings in my life. Don't want to lie. But that would be a correction. Okay. Now, I'm teaching the little kids this. The sad thing is so many of adults don't even realize this, that the Word of God is how we learn the will of God. And by learning the will of God, we can do the will of God. Because the last part of that verse says, for instruction in righteousness. And righteousness simply means right living, basically. And God's going to instruct us in how to live right.
That's right.
In His Word. Okay? In His Word. Are we willing to follow the will of God? Now, let me tell you something. This may sound like heresy at first to some of you out there. But you know, there are some things you don't have to pray about. Why not? Because you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is the will of God.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you know it's the will of God, why are you praying if you ought to do it or not? Now, it's okay to pray for aid in accomplishing it, but you don't have to pray about, should I do it? We'll just take something at random, like tithing. You don't have to pray about it. It's commanded in Scripture. Therefore, we simply need to do it. Now, it's okay to pray about the aid, the help in doing it, but when you first get started, I'm not against that, but you don't not do it while you're praying to try to find out if it's God's will or not, because He's already spoken. There's another one we'll talk about here that we really, 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 why am I saying really so much? Because I don't want to approach the subject. Forgiving people. Do we have to pray about forgiving people? No. Now, when it comes time to forgive somebody, you have to pray for help. You better believe that. All the bells and whistles are going off now. Peter was willing to do God's will, and he did it immediately. If he knew the Lord wanting to do something, it was over. There's a bumper sticker that was popular a while back. God said it. I believe it. What's the last part of that? Anybody remember? That settles it. Yeah, I was just talking about settling here, and I lost my memory again. Okay, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Actuality, that's not 100% true. God said it. That settled it. If you believe it or not, that's between you and the Lord. But it is settled. Why? Because God said it. Once we know God's, and I'm not opposed to that bumper sticker. If you have it on your car, fine. Go ahead and do it. You know, I don't care. I'm not taking issues with anybody. I'm not picking a fight over something silly like that that we don't need to fight about. But God said it, and that settles it. Okay? That settles it. And Peter, if he knew the will of God, he was quick to respond. Now, the only reason why a person ought to or should wait and pray about a certain matter is because they are not sure of God's will. Now, in that case, you owe it to yourself, you owe it to God, and you owe it to people around you, your family, loved ones, and even your church,
Amen.
Your church family, to be sure it's the will of God. You don't uproot your family, move them 2,000 miles or 4,000 miles or 7,000 miles around the world to go to a mission field if God has not called you and it is settled in your heart that you know that you know that you know that this is the will of God. Now, for something big like that, you better pray about it. Okay? We need to be certain of the will of God. So we pray about the will of God. But once we know the will of God, we need to be like Peter and straightway do the will of God.
Yes, sir.
And that's the difference, okay? Praying about something that God's already told you you need to do is disobedience because you're not doing what God told you to do. Now, if you don't know what it is, then you certainly need to pray about it. And don't move until you are absolutely sure of the will of God. Now, Peter was one of these guys. He loved With a kid, I'm sure that he played, you know, I dare you, those kind of games.
I dare you.
You know?
Yes, sir.
And we go, I don't know how many of you are. We grew up in the country. We were kind of rough. I was in the Boy Scouts. Our Boy Scouts never won anything at the Jamborees. But when it came to capture the flag, man, we decimated everybody. I mean, we could be outnumbered 2-1, and we'd just plow through these. Those city folks, they were softies, you know. We were farm kids and stuff, and we were deceitful, and, you know. And when it comes to stuff like that, the rough and tumble, we always won. But one of the games we used to play was, I don't know, have any of you guys out there ever do this? I'm talking about when you're 10, 12, 14. Yeah, old enough, you ought to know better, but you're young enough and too stupid not to, okay? And we used to take knives. I'm talking about knives.
Whoa.
And we would see how close we could get to the other person's foot. And if you moved, you were chicken. We did that, okay? That was dumb. How do you know it was dumb? Yeah, well, that was the easy part. We got the bright idea after doing that so many times, because most of the guys would stand there and take that, and we decided you'd stand by a tree and somebody would, William Tell you. It didn't turn out so good. You get my drift. My aim was better than his aim. I had the better aim and I lost. That's not fair. Now, they were only pocket knives, so they only went in that far, you know, that far. That is absolutely stupid. Okay?
Yes, sir, it is.
I mean, it's the height of dumbness.
Yes, sir.
Is that a word? I don't know, but I'm going to use it. It was the height of dumbness.
Dumbness. I like it.
I probably should have prayed about that one.
Oh, amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I didn't have to pray about should I go to church on Sunday. Why? Because I have a command in Hebrews. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The assembling of ourselves together. We have assembled together today to be taught a Bible school lesson. We have assembled together. In a little while, the man of God is going to stand up here and preach to us. And we are assembled. And that's what God wants for his people. You know? Listen, they may have all these new contemporary churches, all these new ideas. Let me tell you something. God is still in favor of church. He died for the church. He loved the church enough that he died for the church. Now, the church is the people. I understand that. But the assembling are the saved coming together at a set time, previously agreed upon, previously set aside, and this is earmarked. So I don't have to get up on Sunday morning and, oh, should I go? I wonder if I'll go to church today. You know, they got a special going on down at the water park. I don't know why I brought that up, because I hate water. I take like 3 baths a year. Oh, that came out wrong. I do shower sometimes twice a day. I want you to know that. But my wife will testify. We have a pool at our apartments, and have I ever been in it? We've lived there how long? 7 months. It's been rather hot out, you know, here in Tucson, and I hadn't even been in it one time. Okay. So I don't do the water park thing. But okay, I do specials at restaurants. And so maybe there's a special at a restaurant. Do I have to pray about going to the restaurant or going to church? No. Well, it's already decided, because the Word of God is spoken. And once we know the will of God, then we need to act upon it immediately. Now, unfortunately, with every pro, there's a con in human nature. And being quick and impulsive is... there's a lot of good attributes there. There's a lot of times that will serve you well. And inaction will cost you, a delay will cost you many times, okay? But we need to balance that, because every once in a while, stopping and thinking about something is a really, really good idea. And taking the time to pray about something is a good idea. In Matthew chapter 15, verse number 12, Matthew 15, verse number 12 through 16. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Now, because of Peter's nature, his fiery nature and tendency to be quick about doing things, Peter demonstrated his ability to do good things quickly. But he also had a knack for doing bad things just as fast. Okay? Peter asked what seemed to be a good and simple question, and yet we find out he was being rebuked by God for not grasping something. Why? Because he should have gotten it. He should have understood this principle. He was quick to reveal his potential. Boom, he's going to get stuff accomplished. And by the way, he was a great man that God greatly used, and I don't know if they polished sandals, but if they did, I wouldn't be worthy to polish his sandals. He went from denying the Lord one day to within just a few months preaching at Pentecost and seeing 3,000 people saved and baptized. That's not 3,000 people in attendance. They had the disciples. They had the 120. They had, you know, they were assembled. And then these were outside, and these were Jews. How many of you in your entire life have even seen one Jew saved? I don't know how many Jews I have witnessed to. Sometimes I can make a point or two, score a point or two with them perhaps, but I have never personally seen a Jew saved. Now, I have a couple friends who were Jewish and got saved, and then they came into the ministry, and I met them, through working in the ministry. But I've never personally led a single Jew to the Lord, and that's something I've prayed about many, many times. But you know what? Peter preached, and 3,000 of them got saved. He was a great man. He was. He was a fiery man. He would do things straight away. He would do good things immediately. The problem was he wasn't balanced enough. He would not only do good things right away, he would sometimes do bad things right away. I quit, just like that. I'm going fishing. Jeremiah thought about it. Jeremiah said, I think I'm going to quit and open up a Days Inn.
Yes, sir.
That's what he said, basically, a roadside inn. I quit. I think I'm going to do it. But he didn't quit. Peter would have quit and opened up a Holiday Express. Because Peter did things, he was in a hurry. And so he'd do good things in a hurry, and sometimes he'd do things that weren't so good in a hurry. And so we need to balance that. If you don't know the will of God, it is not a shame, it is not sinful not to act. You will get yourself into trouble if you act upon something and it's not the will of God. It's going to cause difficulties in your life. Marry the wrong person and find out how that goes. You need to find the will of God. You need to be certain of the will of God. And then you need to do the will of God. So take the time to pray about things you're not sure about. If you know it's the will of God, if God, let's say you pray about it, and the very first time you pray about something, God impresses upon you, that's it, do it. Then you get up with all the confidence in the world and go do it. So balance the quickness to do good with the quickness to make mistakes. He had his ups and downs, but he's able to do much for God because he learned how to compensate his fiery nature, because Peter also had times of deep thought, and he could see spiritual truths that other people couldn't see. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse number 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. But he said to them, but whom say ye that I am? And who answered? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, standing up and saying that in public in that time could get you killed. Because he just equated Jesus with Jehovah. A lot of folks out here get confused. They hear Jesus said that he is the Son of God. Oh, he's a son of God, therefore he's not God. He's not Jehovah. No, no, no. That is a Jewish idiom, that's a Jewish phrase that equates Christ with God. God, the only children God has were created are created beings. Christ, having never been created, is God. The Bible says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I don't know if you know what the little equal sign means?
Yeah.
Same as. 2 plus 2 equals. Okay, start all over, class. 2 plus 2 equals. Thank you. Is 4 the exact amount as 2 plus 2?
Yeah.
That's why we put an equal sign. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Okay. Well, I'm glad I didn't have any division to do. You guys would, I'd lose you for a while. So 2 plus 2 equals same as. Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Same as Christ, the anointed one. That's simply Messiah. The Hebrew word Messiah is translated into the Greek as Christ. So we are, when we talk about Christ, we are talking about Messiah. We are talking about the promised seed of woman in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, who Adam put his faith in. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, God in the flesh. If you don't believe me, then you can just turn to John chapter number 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I used to, when I was younger in the Lord, I was asked so many times, did Christ ever say he was God? Repeatedly. That's why they crucified him. Remember when they gathered rocks up to kill him one time, but he passed through the crowd and they didn't because it wasn't his time? He said, why do you stone me? Said, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So they understood what he was saying. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, capitalized. Why is that? Because we're talking about God, talking about Christ. In the beginning was the Word, a proper noun, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God and the Word are equal. I'm going to drop down to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. The first Christmas morning. No? Remember that? Well, I don't. I wasn't there, but I read about it. The first Christmas morning, the angels heralded Christ is born and made flesh. That's when God became man and dwelt among us. Oh, he lived among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. And who's the only begotten of the Father? Jesus.
Okay.
And the Word. That's who's the only begotten of the Father? The Word. Verse 14, the Word and the only begotten of the Father are equal. Put that in context. Go back to verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yes, Jesus is completely 100% God. Okay. Now, we don't have to pray about that. We need to know it. Okay, we need to accept that. Peter accepted deep spiritual truths because while he was by nature very fiery and always in a hurry, he also would take time to contemplate, which is really something that I regret about this modern age we live in. I got up this morning and I delayed making my cup of coffee. I did? Yeah, because I was going to take my shower, and my coffee pot is so fast, it will make my cup, and it'll be cool by the time I get out of the shower. So I get out of the shower, and it's all set up. I mean, the water's in the... How many of you do that the night before? And you put your coffee grounds in there, and then all I got to do is go like that. And by the time I'm done doing whatever I'm doing, it's already done. We live in an age of instant gratification. Putting something in the microwave for 6 minutes drives me crazy. 6 minutes? Well, try in the old days, it would take hours. You'd have first you had to go find the critter, shoot the critter, then you have to skin the critter, then you'd have to go in and get a wood fire going, and then you'd have to fry the critter. And we're talking about half a day's gone already, and I haven't even got my squirrel. We live in such an age where the speed limit, it's 35 in some places. 35 miles an hour. I can't run that fast. In fact, I can't run at all anymore. But when I could run that fast. I'm telling you, brother, Gary, it ought to be 45. I know places in town look identical to this place. Fences on both sides, you know, brick wall on both sides. And it's 35. Come on. Why isn't it 55 or 105, you know? We live in such a time where everything's hurry up and go, hurry up, go, hurry up, go, speed, 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 speed. And I'm afraid we want our Christianity that way too. People are shocked. Not you guys. But many people are shocked to find out that I go to an hour of Sunday school before church. And then I go to church. And guess what? Come back again Sunday night. They can't believe that. 1 hour a week is adequate to them. Now, I've been working a lot lately, and hopefully that's going to change soon on Wednesday night, so I've been missing a lot of Wednesdays due to work. But then to come back in the middle of the week, why? You already went on Sunday. In fact, you went three times on Sunday. Yeah, isn't it good? But we are in such a hurry. But Peter, he would stop and think about the scriptures. And yes, he was impetuous. Yes, he was always in a hurry. Yes, he would sometimes say stupid things. But he was very quick to grasp deep spiritual truth because he took the time to contemplate, not just read. I'm all for reading your Bible through in a year. I don't know how many dozens and dozens of times I've done that. Let me tell you this. It's one thing to read your Bible. It's something else to read it deliberately and with enough intention to get out of it what God is talking to you about. And so sometimes, you know, don't read, you know, you may only read six verses. Ah, but I got to read 3.5 chapters a day or I'm not going to get through in a year. Now, is the goal to learn the Word of God or is the goal to get through the Bible in a year? It's to learn the Word of God. Okay? Believe me, you can get through it, and I think you ought to read it. And if you don't read it every year, you ought to read the Bible in its entirety sometime within your life. Every Christian ought to. You have staked your eternal destiny in a book you haven't even read. Now, we need to read the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But it's not, the goal is not just to sit up here and read as many verses as I can in 15 or 20 minutes or a half an hour. The goal is to read the Word of God and let God, the Word, speak to my heart. So if you don't get through the Bible in 1 year, I'm not going to chastise you. As long as you're growing, as long as you're learning. And so we need to see spiritual truth. And by the way, when the pastor preaches, sometimes he'll bring up a subject that we might have a differing opinion on. Well, how are you going to get it settled? You're going to go to the Word of God. You got to give the man of God the benefit of the doubt and not reject anything he says just because you don't believe it. Okay? Listen, I work in a mental health hospital, and there's a lot of people that come through there with all kinds of issues, and there's a lot of homosexuals that come through, and they say, I don't believe the Word of God. I say, why? Well, because it condemns homosexuality. Oh, because the Bible doesn't agree with you. You reject the eternal Word of God. I mean, that's what they're saying. And we cannot pick and choose what the Word of God says as far as believing what the Word of God says. Hey, if God said it, that settles it. Now, hopefully, we can put in there, and the way that bumper sticker ought to read, God said it, that settles it, I believe it. You see the difference between the two? So, are we actually reading the Word of God to gain spiritual truth, or are we just reading the Word of God, to fill up time, to feel good, to come to church and say, yeah, we're going to get through the Bible.
Yeah.
Why are we reading the Word of God? He was blessed. Peter was blessed with spiritual insights, as was James and John's. Personalities totally different than Peter's, perhaps. But other people certainly were not as like Peter. But he was able to learn spiritual truth. And he was also able, he was very quick in verse chapter 16, Matthew 16 and verse 18. I say also unto thee, Matthew 16, verse 18 through 22, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus, the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go in unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, thou shalt not. This shall not be any. And let me tell you something. You got to be pretty bold to rebuke God. God, you're wrong. Isn't that what he said? He did. He said, Christ. And he just said, a couple chapters before, thou art Christ, the Son of God. So he equated him with God. He knew he was God in the flesh, God incarnate. And he told God, you're wrong. And you say, wow, who would do that? You and I. We do it all the time. No, I don't. I never told God. Nope. Is that right? Don't raise your hands, but how many of you are tithing? If you are not, you have told God. Nope. Now, I mentioned homosexuality a moment ago. The Bible is clear. I don't care what society says. And I don't hate people that are homosexuals. I feel sorry for them. I have pity for them. They are delusional. They have problems with their brain, in their head. Actually, it's in their heart, the Bible says, according to Romans chapter 1 and 2. It's in the heart. But the fact of the matter is, I feel sorry for them. I only have pity for them. I'd love to help them. But you cannot deny the Word of God and then use that same Word of God to try to help somebody. It's like the parent in the Christian school who goes home after picking up their child, and their child is whining and crying because of the discipline that they don't get at home that they got at the public school. I mean, not at the, well, that'd be a joke, wouldn't it? Not the public school, but they got it at the Christian school. And so the parents take sides with the kids every time, and the kid's always right. And that school, that teacher is pretty ignorant, and whoever hired them, well, that would be the pastor. Well, he's pretty ignorant too. And then their kids get into trouble, and who do they bring him to see? The man of God. And that's well, they walk through that door and say, this is the same guy you said doesn't know what he's talking about. Why am I coming to talk to him? See, you cannot deny the Word of God and then use the Word of God to help somebody. Now, you don't have to cram it down their throat. Hey, you homosexual, you are stupid, you are sinful, and you're going to hell. And I'm glad of it. But we won't put that in there. But we cannot take the Word of God and use it maliciously. But neither can you deny it and then try to help somebody with it. So I'd lovingly, tenderly say, well, you know, I'm sorry you feel that way. God's Word is true. I believe it. And for your sake, I hope you'll come to see that God loves you as an individual, but you will die in your sins unless you receive Christ as your Savior. And let me tell you how you can be born again and then go right into the gospel. If they reject the gospel, then nothing I can do about it. That's between them and God. But you can't deny the Word of God and then attempt to use the Word of God to help somebody. Is that logical?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good.
It is.
Throughout the scriptures, God is trying to teach us how different saved people are from lost people. Now, it's funny. Brother White struck up a conversation with us in the back. The question was, how's work? How you doing? And he said, well, work's fine. It's the people that are the problem. Remember? And he got in and talking about all the different conflicts. And my wife, yeah, they bring their own personality, their own issues, their own problems, their own prejudice. And yeah. And then Brother White said, well, what are you going to do? You got to remember, they're lost. And we live amongst a multitude of lost people. So, of course, this world is screwed up. Lost people are running it. Lost people are running businesses. Lost people are in your places of employment. They're all over the place. In fact, everybody you see, you ought to assume they're lost until they give you a testimony of salvation. And so we need to understand that we are to act differently. And there's a lot of Christians who never grasp this. You don't go to work and hang out with the druggies and after work go with them. I mean, how many people have you known who was an alcoholic and they decided they would go down to the bar and they would just drink 7-Up? I've known people who've done that once, maybe twice. And you know what they inevitably what they end up doing? Getting right back into their drunken ways. So, yes, we have to separate ourselves from the world, but we are not to alienate ourselves from the world. Amen. We still work with these people. We still go shopping with these people. We, in Tucson, if you drive, you bump into these people, okay? Sooner or later, you're going to. And so we need to understand that, yes, we are to be different, but that doesn't make us better. Different, yes. Saved, yes. So, but the only way we're going to grasp how to live our lives, grasp these spiritual truths, is to get in the Word of God and study the Word of God. And see, what's the verse here? Okay. Sorry, I lost my place in the notes. And I was talking with my boss the other day, Friday, and said to her, you know, that I told her, hey, you're a really good supervisor. You're a great supervisor. You're probably the best supervisor I ever worked for. But you got to understand something. I haven't worked for that many supervisors. Usually I've been in charge. You know, when you start a church, found a church, and you're the pastor of that church, you're in charge.
Yes, sir, you okay? are.
And, you know, nearly 30 years in the ministry, I'm used to being at least a leader in a church, if I was an assistant pastor or whatever, or a school administrator or both, but in leadership positions.
Amen.
But I want to, Peter was a fiery individual, quick to do good, quick to put his foot in his mouth. And in Matthew 18, well, before we go there, turn to James 3:1, and then we may look at the last point. James 3:1. Let me turn there. James chapter 3, and verse number 1. My brethren, so we're talking to saved people, the church. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Peter was a great pastor. He was a great leader. He was a great apostle. But he probably would have made a terrible deacon.
Yeah.
Why? Because Peter did not have this ability to see something, a need, and it's okay if you see a need to go ahead and meet it. But Peter would, if there was a void, Peter would jump in. Peter was always exerting himself. Peter was always speaking his mind. And according to James 3:1, says, be not many masters as a person sitting in the pew. We don't have the right to try to control the pastor. And too many churches have deacons who vote on what the pastor can and cannot do. Hey, when it comes to money in the church, everybody gets a vote. I'm all for that, 100%. And I think we ought to open up our books and show everybody that. And pastor does the same and agrees and does that, okay? So that yearly business meeting where you get the budget, that's a wonderful thing. If you want to look at it, fine. If you don't want to look at it, fine. Come anyways, please. And it's not that bad. And so we have an openness about that when it comes to those sort of things. But when it comes to preaching the Word of God, there's nobody that pastor answers to except the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's not answering to God, he's going to be in a world of hurt. So, and I've had this discussion with people. People were talking about the pastor. Sometimes it was me. Sometimes it's another church and it's another pastor. And he's not doing right. And that's not right by the Bible. And they always got their pet Bible verse they want to share with me. And I simply tell them this, say, hey, if you are spiritually superior to the pastor, why don't you pray, get a hold of God, and ask God to change his mind?
And then they'd
do their, what's the cartoon? Yabba-dabba-dabba-doo. They would do that impersonation. Ba 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 ba. They didn't have an answer for me. Mm-hmm. Be not many masters. Now, if God, this is where we come back to praying. If God calls you into the ministry, and you know God is calling you in the ministry, you better report for the ministry.
Amen.
But don't report for the ministry if you're not called into the ministry. Because
right.
You will have problems. Create all kinds of problems.
Right.
Be not many masters. So if you are a deacon in the church, don't try to run the pastor.
Amen.
If you are a layperson in the church, don't try to run the Sunday school hour. Don't try to run the pastor. If you are given permission by the pastor to teach a Sunday school class, like I have been, then and I check with him from time to time. I'm going to do something in junior church, a little bit different. We haven't done it before here, blah blah blah. I ask him if it's okay, and so far he's given me pretty much free rein. But you know what I would do if he told me not to do that? I wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't tell you that he told me not to do it. I just would shut up and go find something else to bug him about. Hey, how about this? Can I do this? Eventually I'll hit something I can do, all right? And so let's just, it's okay if God calls you to leadership. But don't you volunteer for leadership if God's not calling you. Be not many masters. Why would that be? Well, you know, they used to have sayings, you know, like they're not politically correct anymore. But, you know, like there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians.
Yeah.
Talking about a committee-run church. Here's one, too many chefs in the kitchen.
Ah.
Every lady can volunteer for that one, right? Thanksgiving, you want help, right?
Yes, sir.
But who's in charge of that kitchen? If it's my house, speaking for a lady, I'm not a lady. If it's my house, I'm in charge of the kitchen, okay? If I come over to your house, I might try to exert myself, but you know what you're going to say? No, this is my kitchen.
It's my kitchen.
And so we can't have too many chefs because you are going to end up with a mess. Okay?
Yes, we are.
I mean, the salad will be tossed, but it's going to be tossed on you.
Oh, boy. Oh, there you go. There you go. There you go.
So it's okay. Well, I'm getting stared down outside, so I better quit. Okay? It isn't pastor. It's an uglier person. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time, Lord. I pray that you'd be with us and bless us. And Lord, I tried to teach this lesson in a way that would be entertaining, but most of all, instructional, and absolutely most of all, in a way that would bring glory to Christ. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to contemplate these things and help us to balance in our lives, speed to do right, but Lord, also slow down to make sure we are doing right. So we pray that you'd bless this hour. Pray that you'd bless the treats. We thank you for those who provided them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And we are dismissed from Matthew chapter 20. I mean chapter 4 and verse 20. 4:20. Now this is, it may not make a lot of sense standing alone. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. But I want you to underline and emphasize straightway. That's what I'm trying to get. The speediness in there. Okay?